Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Now, private label brands, it seems, are booming in South Africa, with sales now topping 98 billion rand a year and growing faster than many name brands. There's new research from Nielsen IQ that shows more consumers are embracing store brands, and not just for cost, but also for quality and, would you believe, even status. So what is behind the shift, and what does it mean for big name FMCG brands? I want to talk to Kelly McGuinness now, Market Insights Lead for Sub-Saharan Africa at NIQ, the global marketing research firm. Kelly, a very warm welcome to you. That number, 98 billion, let's start with that in private label sales. What do you think is driving the surge?
So it's quite complicated in terms of a few things. I think firstly, we look at private label many years ago was seen as an inferior product. And what we're starting to see is that consumers are not seeing it as an inferior product anymore. They're actually seeing that there's two options for private label. Number one, the private label, because the retailers in South Africa have put a lot of investment behind these brands, they are tiered. So there is an option for a cheaper alternative to branded products, but they're also now starting to offer the quality of branded products. So there's twofold drivers for the growth. Number one, consumers looking for a cheaper alternative because of the economic pressure that they're facing. And number two, they believe that the products are very good products and they believe in these products.
It's also interesting that you mentioned that the private labels themselves are now starting to tier, and many of them going for the premium market. Why would that be happening, Kelly? And what categories, in your opinion, then are leading that trend?
So it's very dependent on category, like you say. So there are a lot of categories where we see private labels sort of searing ahead. And in most cases, private label are actually growing ahead of the branded products. And there's almost a realm for both to list and list in harmony, where we can see both branded products and private label come together on the shelf and win for the consumer, because there's different offerings. And we do see in some categories where the premiumization has actually come through, and the consumer is saying that it's actually better than some of the branded products.
It's about trust and brand, I understand that, but also a lot of it surely has to do with price. And we know overnight the movement on pulling back as far as value-added tax is concerned. As a result of that, would there be then a shift back in favor of named brands, all driven by price?
Not necessarily, because even though we have seen a little bit of the relief for consumers in certain spaces last year, so where we did see some relief in terms of the reduction in terms of interest rates, those kind of slight sort of relief for consumers, even though we see that, the private label continues to grow. So it's not always about offering the cheapest alternative. In some cases, private label is actually being the option chosen for, even if it is more premium than the branded products.
And Kelly, to what extent is Gen Z and even millennial behavior influencing this boom in private labels?
So the Gen Z behavior is quite interesting, because the younger generations are looking for options to support themselves, or and not only that, but also treat themselves. So when they're looking for an option to treat themselves, they are looking for a premium option to treat themselves, because we're spending so much more time at home because we don't have the money to do a lot of outside activities. So we are spending a lot more time at home. So we want to treat ourselves in home. And that sometimes means buying a brand that they feel that has some status. And I think we're saying that the private labels have gone from not only having a stigma, and they're actually moving towards a status brands themselves as well. And with the younger generations looking for a status brand, some of these private labels are giving them that status brand.
So if I'm a brand manager for an established global FMCG brand, the shift surely would be worrying, because there's now a greater degree of risk, if I'm hearing your argument.
There is a greater degree of risk for the branded products, because these products are now competing sort of on par with some of the branded products. However, I think there is a way for them to be in both. So the retailers can't only list private label, because consumers are saying they still want branded products and they still have brands that they are quite loyal to. And they are willing to shift to a different retailer if they don't find the brand that they're looking for. So retailers need to be careful and make sure that they are listing both branded products and their private label so that the consumers find that what they want. And I think manufacturers and retailers need to work together to make sure that they're offering the consumer the entire repertoire of brands that they can choose from.
And how does that look like in practice, that collaboration or cooperation between retailers and manufacturers? Apart from listing, what else should they be doing?
I think it's around working together in terms of ensuring the right shelf space for the different brands, ensuring that they are offering the full range for the consumer so they find on shelf exactly what they're looking for. Not only that, they also need to be mindful of the fact that there are times where a consumer does need a cheaper alternative, and if the cheap alternative is still going to grow the brand as a whole and offer the consumer an option to not drop the category completely, where we have seen that be the case in some cases, at least the consumer is still staying in that category. And then the retailer wins, and so does the brand. The same token, we also see the branded products, because there's a cheaper alternative in some of the private label categories, they're bringing new consumers into that category because there's an easier starting point. So then they can move up and tier up into the branded products.
And I'm also wondering to what extent loyalty programs, which are fairly ubiquitous right now, are influencing consumer choice between private and named brands.
So loyalty programs, I think we've seen a massive rise in that in the last 2 years in South Africa. And a lot of South Africans saying that they use their loyalty programs and different loyalty programs across different retail segments to save themselves money. So we don't have a lot more money, so we're looking for ways to save money. And as a result, loyalty programs are number one saving strategy of South African consumers. And that comes with any loyalty program that's linked to retailers themselves as well as brand as well. So any loyalty cards or that kind of offering from a brand is also driving a lot of the behavior.
And that is a fascinating look at consumer behavior in 2025. Kelly McGuinness, thank you very much indeed. From NIQ, the global marketing research firm, I appreciate your time this evening. Thank you so much.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.